All right, Psalms 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? Is thine anger cast down? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praise unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Can the church say amen? If you'll go back with me now to verse 3. That's where I want to dwell for a little short time, the Lord being my helper. I want to preach to you on verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In the church, say amen. Amen. Stretch your hands towards heaven and let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. We come before your throne, thanking you for your goodness and mercy, asking you to help us. We present ourselves to you that we may feed the flock of God of which you've given us the oversight. Give us that ability and we will praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Brian, the title is I and Thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. I and Thee. When we take up the introduction to this sermon, the first thing that we see is the all-important, the working of it, is in the statement, thee. It stands and draws our attention because it stands in its own power. It stands out in contrast to the little word, I. What time I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. Amen. I and thee. When we read this psalmist statement here, we need to set the stage and take you back to where he is writing this. He is not writing this in Israel. He is writing this in the land of the Philistines. For chapter 56 of the book of Psalms is David's psalm that he wrote when he was taken into the presence of Achish, the king of Gath of the Philistines. He is there because he is running from Saul. Can I get an amen? And when you see this psalmist, you must look and see a trembling figure. David is uncertain of his steps. David is uncertain of his future. He is in this land of the Philistines because Saul had turned on him again. Saul had repented in tears and told David, "You're more righteous than myself. I have been wrong." For David had spared his life over and over again, and yet Saul takes up the hunt for David. And this time, David flees for his life, and he goes into the land of the Philistines. And when this trembling man, and that's what David was. I think James sums it up wonderfully when he says that he was a man subject to like passion. David, this fearless David that couldn't be scared by a lion or a bear or a giant, is now afraid of Saul. Isn't it something, we being the men that we are, sometimes we're forced to look up to try to reconnoiter something that is greater than ourselves. And this is what David sees in this moment of fear. He looks up and says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Amen. This is the head of the psalm. If you've read it, you've looked at it, maybe your Bible doesn't have it, but if it does, if you read it, you will find that it says, this is the time, the psalm of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. They didn't take him to Gath, they took him in Gath. And the reason being is in 1 Samuel chapter 21, starting with verse 10. "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his tens thousands? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath." Two times already, he fears Saul, and he runs to the land of the Philistines, and they recognize him, and they take him, and they drag him before the king of Gath. And then in verse 13, it says, "And he changed his behavior before them, and fiend himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the door of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, see, the man, he is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of a madman, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. David, because of fear, is fiending to be a mad man. He has been brought into the hands of Achish, the king of Gath. You remember Gath, don't you? Well, that was Goliath's hometown. Yeah. David has fled to this place, and on his side he is bearing the sword of Goliath. And when they recognize David, who he is, for who else could have the sword of Goliath but David, who conquered him? They saw him take it and slay their champion. So they capture David and they bring him before the king, hoping that the king will destroy David. But David is spared because he fiends to be mad. Now, actually, it is that he says that he plays the part of an epileptic. He has fits. He foams at the mouth. He lays down on the floor and jerks, and the king says, he's a madman. He has fits. You bring him to me. And they let David go. And David flees for his life. But what fear will drive you to? Once you become afraid, once you begin to let fear dominate. He was so terrified that he fiend insanity, epilepsy. He was at the same time that he was fiending this in the palace, when they would leave him alone at night, David pulled out whatever he wrote with and began to pin this psalm to the Lord. It doesn't seem that a madman in the court could be such a sane man in the quiet. But isn't that just like us, that we waver from times of fear to times when we're so sure of God? Back and forth we go. One minute we're afraid, the next minute we have great faith. cool this down a little bit. It's or those, one or the other, it's not working right up here. One or the other, we find ourselves caught in that dilemma. Fear hath torment. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Come on now, help me preach. Fear hath torment. Look at the torment that David has. He must act like a madman in order to preserve his life. He must be something out of character. For David had never acted that way in his life and will never act that way again. But because he became afraid of Saul, fear found a way into David's heart. And when fear found a lodging, it only escalates. It never stays dormant. It will always try to conquer. For fear hath torment. Amen. When he was doing this, at the same time, his heart was trying to get a hold of God. And David was preaching to himself and writing this psalm. And not only this psalm, but Psalm 34 is the same time period. He writes two psalms in the land of the Philistines when he is so afraid. Amen. And in the public, he scrabbles. It means he makes marks on the door of the gate, and he talks to himself, and spittle runs down on his beard, and people go by shaking their heads, and he's mad. David the great king, David the great warrior, is a madman now, helplessly mad and insane. But David was doing it in order to make his escape from the hands of the Philistine. We cannot be too mad at David or too ashamed of David, because what would we do to save our life?
That's right.
Amen. So he writes these two psalms in the time of the greatest of his heart aches and the greatest of his heart fear. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
That's right. It seems almost like a pity to track it back. When you look at this man, you would think there's not a psalm in him. There's no such great words like that. But there is. In all of us who have known God and had an experience with God, there is more in us, more resource than what we really think. For fear will make you lose your faith, and faith will make you lose your fear.
Amen.
Amen. So the first thing that we want to look at in this is the word thee. Thee. The Bible tells us that David was talking about God when he said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And he was talking to God because the psalm was written about God and his mercy, God and his love, God and his care, God and his covenant. Everything that David was writing in the psalm, it was David's conception of what God was to him. He was trying to get fear to let go of his heart.
Amen.
Amen. You see, the psalm starts off with a God of mercy. And all of us understand that. All of us understand that we can't make it without God's mercy. So David said, "What I need most of all is God. And I need God to be merciful to me because I'm out of his will." David should have never left his land. David had been delivered by God from the lion, the bear, Goliath, and Saul. He had been delivered and delivered and delivered. And now David takes it that he must run to preserve his own life. He's out of the will of God. Always fear will start gnawing at you when you know you stepped out of the will of God. Amen. Everything else begins to pale in significance when he thinks of God. He was God, and he was a God of mercy. He looked up and realized, there is God. Why didn't I realize that when I was being afraid of Saul? Why didn't I trust him? He had delivered me from his hands 3 different times. He delivered me from Saul. Now I'm afraid and I've run. And then he looked back up and said, "God, be merciful. Be merciful." The Philistines were nothing in comparison with God. Had not David killed his tens of thousands of them? Did he not slay their champion by the power of God? Did he not pay 200 foreskins for his bride and all Philistines? He had slain 200 of them just for a woman. Oh, and now David is afraid and he flees. Yes, but now he's coming back to the groundwork of faith. He's coming back to that will bring him up and out of fear. He's coming back to himself and to his senses. And he begins to do it by thinking of God. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. He speaks to God. His confession is to God. There is God, and this God was his God. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Amen. You see, he would not only be merciful, amen, but he would not fear what men could do. If God said he would live, he would live. If God was on his side, men could not destroy him. How many realize that? Come on, say amen if you realize that. That is where David was. There was just these three in the psalm. Just three things. Three different aspects. First it was the eye, David. And then there was the men. And that was the Philistines who were constantly keeping him under surveillance, watching him, trying to catch him in this maneuver, trying to catch him out of character so they could have the king to slay him. David was constantly under surveillance, and the surveillance watching his going, watching his coming, watching his words, watching him, and he had to play a madman to protect his own life. And then there was God. There was David. There were the men who would swallow him up. And there was God. What time I'm afraid of these men, I will trust in Thee. Somebody shout amen. So the Philistines were nothing in comparison with his God. Amen. And his God was merciful. So God is rich in mercy. He delights in it. He delights in having mercy. He delights in the mercies that he gives to his children. He gets them up every morning and makes them up fresh. So he doesn't give us last year's mercy or yesterday's mercy. But he's got mercy today that's fresh from his heart. Because he knows our frame, and we may fall into a fit of fear and have to have someone to pull us out. Amen. Oh, we have to realize this before we get to the heart of David's thought. Thee is the God that made the world and kept it till this day. Thee is the God that had delivered him in the past. Thee, I will trust in Thee. I will trust in God. Amen. He had been there and has never removed himself and will never remove himself from David and his fear. And then in that fear, he remembered that his God had entered into a covenant with him. In that time of fear, we forget the promises of God. But David in this psalm in verse 12 said, Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praise unto Thee. He didn't say, My vows are to Thee. He said, Thy vows, O God. God had vowed that He would make David king. God had vowed that He would sit upon the throne of Israel. God had vowed that He had chosen David to be king. And David, in his trouble, in his fear, remembered the promise of God, that God had said, I've chosen you to be king. So David said, Well, if that's true, then these Philistines won't keep me from that throne. If this is true, then I can trust in God to fulfill His word. If this is true, and God has gave me a promise, it cannot fail. The heavens may fail. The earth may be removed. But God's word is eternally settled. When He sent it forth, it shall not return to Him void. So David come to his senses. And in his senses he remembered the promise of God. When Samuel came to his house and rejected all of his brothers, and in the midst of Jesse and all of his sons, Samuel said, The Lord's anointed is before me. And he poured the oil on David's head and told David, God has chosen you. Now, in the midst of his fear, he remembers the vows of the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful to remember when our heart gets afraid, the word of, "Lo, I am with thee always"? Wouldn't it be wonderful when our heart is afraid that said there's nothing impossible with God, nothing too hard for God? Though 1,000 fall at one hand, it will not come nigh to thee. Isn't it wonderful to know that God has made provisions for you?
Yes.
That, my friend, David put his trust in God and his covenant. And he says, "What time I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee." Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Sometimes we get too proud to admit it. We get so caught up with ourselves. Amen. We won't admit that we're afraid. It had been years since I'd been to the hospital, and I was over there because the doctor was going to run that scope down my throat and look for those little critters that had invaded my system and was causing me to bleed. And when I was laying there in that room all by myself, and they had that thing on my finger, you know, that registers your pulse. And all of a sudden, my little heart that always was calm began to go beep, 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 beep. And I turned myself to the wall and said, "God, I've never been this way before. Help me, Lord." Oh, you said, I know. See, I told you, some folks are too proud to admit that you ever got scared. Do you ever get scared? And your heart begins to beat in your ear. And you almost feel it pushing against your breastbone. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, even before I got saved, there's a couple of times I got scared. And I told God, the last time I got that scared, I was a sinner. I said, "If you'll just let me get home." I was so afraid that I was going to die. I said, "If you'll just let me get home, I'll pray." I lied to him. He knew I was lying when I said it. He knew that. I was a sinner. I just wanted out of it. I wanted out of the trouble. I wanted out of the fear. But then when I was laying over there and that little heart began to take off on that little jog, I turned my face to the wall and I listened to it as it came back down. Toop, 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 toop. It wasn't me. It was the God of peace that came in the quietness and distilled my fear. Come on, somebody say amen. That's what David is saying. The covenant, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." Well, we turn from that great thee to the little I. We turn back to us. We turn back to the I. That little I beside that great thee is insignificant. What are we? 1 in 6 billion? Seems awful insignificant, isn't it? That's like one leaf in a forest, one grain of sand on the seaside. Can it say anything significant about itself? No, that little I. But we often will hide the fact that we do get afraid and that fear does torment us. And that we're uncertain about where we're going and how we're going to survive and what's going to happen. That fear hath torment. It can half paralyze you. It can take away your good logic. It can take away your good sense. Amen. You wouldn't act that way if you wasn't afraid. Sometimes we get afraid of losing. Sometimes we get afraid of our future. Sometimes we get afraid of ourselves. Oh, would somebody help me preach? Oh, paralyzed. Our difficulties. If I lose my job, what will I do? And fear comes in because I can't make these payments. If I lose my health, what will I do? Because I cannot support my family without being in good health. Amen. What happens? Well, what will happen to my children? What will happen to me? All of these fears come when we realize how weak, how unstable we are. When the I, "What time I am afraid." And he said it. He said it. David said it. The great hero David said it. The great champion David said it. "What time I am afraid." Listen to him. He said, "I am afraid. Amen. And sometimes it does us good. We get down before God and we tell God all this war going on and all of the uncertainty of our future, all the uncertainty of my job, all the uncertainty that I see for my children and my children's children. Lord, sometimes I get afraid. Amen. There we are, the bravest of us, afraid sometimes. Somebody shout amen. Well, we know about fear. We've had it, haven't we? Amen. I've seen grown men. I've seen men bigger than myself look at a needle when that nurse goes like this and the little juice of inoculation comes out the end of it and they start towards them and just knees buckle. And big men hit the ground because they're afraid of a needle. You put a bayonet on the end of a gun, they'll charge it. Put a needle in the hand of a nurse and they faint. I can't explain it, but fear has its own way. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
I've seen people who turn around in the road because a black cat crossed their path. There ain't no harm in a black cat. There's no difference in a black cat and a white cat or a calico cat or a mangy cat. But somewhere fear clicked in and they stopped that car, turned around and went another way. Fear has torment. Don't tell me you've not had your time when you was afraid. All of us have had our times when we battled fear. That's why the psalmist said, what time I am afraid. And then we must hurry. We must link the two. This fearful one with one that has never been afraid. We must bring this weak one into the position of the one of all strength. We must reach down to the lowly and hook him up to the mighty. We must reach down to the temporal and hook him up to the eternal. And we must bring this fear under control. And the only way that you can do it is to link the two together. Once you've taken God and God has taken your hand, you won't be afraid. Doesn't God bring peace where fear would torment? Haven't you been afraid and the Lord come and all the fear disappear? Well, the reason it is because God's mercy and great love is towards the children of men. What is man? The psalmist said that thou art mindful of him. Man's is God's object of love. The reason for this world, man. The reason God came into this world, man. The reason God climbed on a cross and died was man. The reason he's coming back to this world is man. Then if we are something, then we shouldn't let fear dominate us, but we ought to say, God is for me. He loves me. He gave his son and died for me. Oh, the wonderful love of God, that in our time of fear, we can turn to a father and say, love me, hold me, keep me. And you can feel the arms of an eternal God come around you in your moment of fear, and fear melt away. Times when we bowed our head in fear, but now we lift it. I hold it high. I am something to God. I am something to God. And now God stoops and comes down, and the psalmist said, haven't you put my tears in a bottle? Haven't you wrote in a book about my life? He begins to notice that God has not missed a tear that has fell, but God has collected it. And that's not the only place. But you'll get over to the book of Revelation where he takes the tears of the saints. You've never cried in vain. God has captured your tears. And one day God will pour them out on an altar. And they'll come up before God as a sacrifice. Amen. Somebody shout amen. We're talking about a God that when your heart is breaking and you're so afraid, God watches those tears and doesn't let them fall unremembered, but he numbers them and puts them in a book and keeps them in a bottle. God is for us.
Hallelujah.
He stoops down to me. I am man, and I get afraid. But He is my Father, and I have every right to flee to Him. What time I'm afraid, I will trust. What a contradiction, people will say. How can you do that? How can David be afraid if he trusts? And how can you trust if you are afraid? What a contradiction. What time I'm afraid, I will trust. Well, there is. Where we are and what we're going through, the preceding fear gives birth to the overcoming trust. If you wasn't afraid, you wouldn't need to trust. But if you do realize that you're afraid and you trust, you will overcome fear. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I remember when they was teaching us mountain survival, and we were rappelling off of cliffs. And the first time that anyone ever told me to jump and trust a rope, they put it around you in your harness, and you stand there on the edge, and the sergeant says, jump. And you jump back as far as you can, and in three jumps, he wants you on the ground. One great big long backward jump that brings you down. You hit, release, hit, and you're on the ground, and he wants you there and running with your weapon. Well, I've never done that before, but he said, it'll work. And I said, are you sure? And he said, never failed yet. And I said, what if I'm the first? He said, you are. You're next. There have been times when I've been afraid. There have been times when I have really had to face my fear to overcome it. But that was when I was by myself. Now I never face fear by myself. Now I never have to face the difficulty alone. For I have found a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I have found someone who never sleeps nor slumbers. I found someone that loves me so much that he gave up heaven's best, that he might have this relationship with me, and that he might be merciful to me, not scold me because I'm afraid, but come in such a loving way that his presence dispels my fears. If we're not careful, fear will take position in our heart and possession of our soul. You will become so afraid you can't live. You can't enjoy life. You'll become so afraid, you'll become a prisoner in your own house. You'll be afraid at every waking minute, afraid somebody will do something to you. Afraid of a reoccurring symptom. Afraid that you may die. I have kept night watches with people who were afraid to go to sleep because they were afraid. If they went to sleep, they would die. Oh, fear hath torment. If it wasn't so, then why did Jesus say to us, let not thy heart be troubled? What is troubled heart but just fear? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Oh, hallelujah. You see, here it comes, because faith is the greatest antagonist to fear. If there's one thing that can whip fear completely, if there's one thing that can overcome fear and dislodge it and throw it out of your heart, ostracize it from your life, it is faith. It is trust. To exercise trust, amen, you'll never do it until you realize you're afraid. But the moment that you see fear, you'll begin to look for something to get rid of it. Because you know and I know, nobody can be happy with a heart full of fear. Hallelujah. Trust is the opposite of fear. What time I am afraid, I will trust. Completely, then fear is gone. Perfectly, fear cannot reign. Amen. Because faith, like love, casts out fear. Somebody help me, I'm almost done. Often we trust, but it's just for a moment, and then fear comes back. God does not want us to live in the state of fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. There is a way that you can dislodge fear. There's a way you can overcome fear. And the way it is through perfect trust in God. Do you believe that God picked you out of this world? Do you believe God knows your name? Do you believe God lives with you? Do you believe God has the very hairs of your head numbered? Do you believe God is acquainted with your fear, your weakness? Do you believe? If you believe that God is, then you're beginning to have faith, for faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Have you ever seen God? No, but I've seen Him work. Have you ever seen God? No, but I felt His presence. Have you ever seen God? No, but I felt Him when He walked into my room. Hallelujah. I felt Him when He answered my cry. I felt Him when He made my fear leave me alone. I felt Him in the loneliness of the night. I felt Him when I was by myself. I want to tell you, my friend, you need faith to overcome fear. Look up, not down. Look up, not around. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. Praise God. Realize who He is and what He's done for you, and you will not have a fearful heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. I've seen God's children face death and start out afraid. They started out afraid, and I've seen them as they faced it and dealt with it. I've seen Him come down to the place where death wasn't no more to them than a walking through a shadow. No more than opening a bedroom door and going in and shutting it behind them and shutting out the rest of the house. I've seen them overcome the fear of death until they died with the praise on their lips and the Holy Ghost all over them. What time I'm afraid. I'm not going to tell you that I might not be afraid when it comes my time to die. But if I am afraid, I'm going to trust in the Lord who will come take my hand and we'll cross chilly Jordan together. Who will cradle my head in His loving arms. Amen. And let me feel His breast as I go through the raging of Jordan. And I'll sing like the old black folks sang. Roll back, Jordan. Get on back, Jordan. I'm going to my home. My Father's waiting. And I'm going home. It's not afraid to go home. Are you afraid to go home? No, we're not afraid to go home. For home is where we're the safest. You remember when the young man who was Elisha's servant said, "Alas, Master, what shall we do?" And he prayed and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw around the army that had compassed their city. Compassing that army around about was a mountain full of flaming horses and chariots. And the young man said, "They are more for us than there is against us." And it's that dispelling of fear. "Alas, Master, how shall we do?" And his eyes were opened and he said, "They're more for us than there is against us. There's more heavens. Heaven has more angels that are for you. Heaven has more power that is in you. There is nothing in earth that can do anything but send us quicker to our reward." That's the most they can do. "No man can pluck you out of my Father's hands. Then why be afraid if you're in the hands of God?" Amen. Hallelujah. The little I am, weak, weary, tired, mortal, the I am. The little I am, what time I am afraid. But then there's the thee of the Lord God. How strong thou art. How mighty you are. How wise and good. So the psalmist David in his old age says these great words.
He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If goodness and mercy are right behind me, then what do I have to be afraid of? If goodness can't take care of it, mercy will. For both goodness and mercy are the angels of God sent to bring me home. And they will go with me all the days of my life. Amen. The other night when I was preaching to you, I said, David read these great words and pinned them down. He said, I was once young, and now I'm old. But I've not seen the righteous forsaken, neither his seed begging bread. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Some of us can say, I was once young. I was once so young, I wasn't afraid of anything. I was once so young that I would try anything. And then I got a little wiser and decided there's some things I don't need to do. Amen. But now I'm old and you couldn't pay me to do some things. There's not enough money. Not because I am afraid. It's just because I know thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Fears will come and go, for they are the physical apparatuses of our being. Adrenaline flows, and the shot of adrenaline, and the tingling of the nerves, and the standing up on the hair of our nape of our neck. And sometimes somebody can sneak up on you and say, "Poof," and you will almost inevitably scream and panic. Can I get an amen? Yeah. I was sitting in the office late one night and had the door open and had the window open. It was back when it was warm enough to do that. And I was sitting there reading. I was into the book. I was into it. And the wind caught the door. And I was into my book. I was into it. And all of a sudden that door slammed, and I went 6 foot, 200 and some pounds, and I went oh yeah, oh you're a brave soul, you would never do that. Just ask Brother Kim when he thought he heard the piano playing in this church, and he come tiptoeing up the stairs to scare the person that he thought was playing the piano. And he got up here and there was nobody on the piano. Ask him how fast he got back down the stairs and how quick he locked the door and how quick he went to bed. Woo! I'm not alone. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Let's stand. Come on, Brother Rick, get us a song. Praise God. Hallelujah. The reason I preached that message tonight and I didn't do very good, I did pray about it, I did take time, I've been all day on it, is because this one scripture, men's hearts shall fail them for fear, looking at those things that are coming upon this earth. I want you to be prepared. You've not seen anything, yet you are God. But that doesn't tell us that if we aren't where we should be with God and trust in Him, that we will feel faint. Amen. Faint is a Bible word. Men's heart shall fail them. Don't faint. Don't give up. So I offer you this pastoral message tonight to tell you, you're going to face fear. You can overcome it. It doesn't have to torment you. Let us come and pray.